Well, good morning, class. It's been a long time since I have spoke to you, and I'm looking forward to it. I trust the Lord will help us today. You never know, as a preacher, and we've been preaching for a few years, how it's going to go, how it's going to start, how's it going to look in the middle of the message, how's it going to be at the end. I just never know. I just depend so much on the anointing of the Lord to come and rest upon us. But it is, I want this to be a blessing to us, and I want it to challenge us, all of us, myself included. And I pray that you get the crux of the matter today, and it becomes a part of your life. Every day it becomes a part of your life, and when you see, hopefully, I don't know how much we can cover. I don't know how much we're going to get into today, but I don't know if I'm going to teach or preach or treach, whatever. I don't know how it's going to go. I just know that we need to hear what I'm about to read. Amen. All the church needs to hear this. Praise God. So we're gonna just go and read this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promises of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from the God of our Father, Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. Boy, that's saying a lot. That without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. In other words, Paul is saying to his son in the gospel, Timothy, his son here, spiritual son, every day, every night, I am remembering you in my prayers. That's pretty powerful. I mean, that is amazing. If you can send a text or a card to someone and you let them know that you're remembering them in your prayers, night and day, it's pretty awesome. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that it may be filled with joy. Okay, verse number 5. When I call to remembrance, this is twice he's used this word. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Study that one out. Unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice. I am persuaded that it's in thee or in you also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Third time. When I'm taking and reading and studying, if something comes in a sequence of verses, the same word, I got to really pay attention to that. Yeah. So he said, in remembrance of thee, number one, in my prayers, night and day. Number two, in remembrance, he says, I'm remembering the unfeigned faith. The unfeigned faith that is in you. Unfeigned faith that's in Timothy. And now for the third time, I put thee in remembrance. Now I'm putting you in remembrance. Paul said, I remember two things here. I remembered you night and day with my tears, my prayers. Number two, I remembered the incredible unfeigned faith that's in you. Now I'm putting you in remembrance that thou, and this is really what stirred me up. Excuse me. I mean, I said it, stirred me up. This is really what brought to my attention. I don't know if I'd ever paid that much attention in quoting this verse. That thou, that you stir up the gift of God. That you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift. Who's going to stir up the gift? Who did Paul say to stir up the gift?
Timothy?
Yeah. Ain't going to be your grandmother doing it. It's not going to be your mother doing it. Timothy, you have got to stir up the gift that is within thee. You have. You've got to take responsibility to this. I began to study the word stirred up. Okay? And I love how things work. I just started, we're probably thinking of the word, there's a stirring in the camp. You know, the stirring in the camp. There's a stirring in the camp. It's like rendering the old camp. I love history. I'm reading right now Bent's, B-E-N-T, Bent's, named after William Bent, Bent's Fort. That was a fortitude in the Colorado, Arkansas River area in Colorado. And it was an outpost at an early age of America, where two brothers went out and built this fortitude, and they traded to the Indians, the fur traders, the trappers, two or three, four tribes of Indians, and Bent's Fort, okay? And I'm so enjoying this. And so as I was reading this, I just, you know, yesterday I stopped reading it. And I called my mother, and as I do nearly every day, and she's called me today because her phone's out. And my mother was there, and just small talk very quickly, just about a minute or two. And then she said, "Well, son, I've got to get up and stir some things up around here." I said, "Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Stirring the camp. It would be like the wagon trains that came through Independence and came right through here, the Three Trails Crossing. We're part of that history. And way out somewhere, they would circle the wagons and they'd make the camp. And they had a wagon master, you know, the guy that was in charge. And he always did this, I guess, and he turned the wagon, tongue of the wagon toward the North Star, okay? That would give them directions to start the next morning, okay? He would be the first one up. He would be the first one up in the morning, generally. And then the cook, or he was called Cookie. Yeah. He would get up. And of course, those days they just had flour and water, and they'd get to stirring up some biscuits and always beans and biscuits and bacon. And he'd get to stirring up. And so that's where the rendition or the cliche came, a stirring in the camp. The wagon master is saying, today we're moving forward. Today, we're moving on. We're stirring in the camp. Our eyes is set on Oregon or California. There's a stirring in the camp. When I looked up the word in the Greek, I love this. I've redone my library completely in the house. And I've got all my study books are there. And I love pulling and getting my Greek, which is New Testament, Hebrew, the Old Testament. And I love getting the Greek words that was the original New Testament. Because you can have one word like stir or stirred or stir up. And there's like nine words that mentions that word in a different fashion, okay? So I looked up this particular word, Timothy, stir the gift up. And this, I'm not going to try to pronounce this word. This Greek word meant to kindle afresh. It meant to keep a full flame. It meant a fire that is capable of going out through neglect. And the rendering here to Timothy from his spiritual father is saying, Timothy, this gift was in your mama, and this gift was in your grandmother, and this gift is in you, but is capable of going out. Timothy, keep it full flame. Timothy, keep it afresh. Timothy, keep it stirred up. Timothy, keep this flame from going out. Don't neglect the gift. Don't neglect what God has done for you. I think one of the issues that arises among believers today is how do we stay stirred up? How do we stay stirred up? How does the church stay stirred up? If we're cooking this morning, as we do sometimes, my wife mentioned 2 days ago, she said, oh, I would just love to have some vegetable beef soup. And so we had some freshly ground grass-fed beef. And so I went there, and that was probably the first thing. I sauteed and browned the beef, and then I started adding. I didn't have a recipe. I hardly ever have a recipe. I just kind of figured out as I go along. It's like preaching sometimes, you know. I had a little bit of this, and I had a little bit of that, and I got the tomatoes out, and I got the kidney beans out, and I got the smoked paprika out, and I got the garlic powder, and I got the onion powder, and I got the black pepper, and I got the salt, and I got the tomato paste, and then I got the mixed vegetables, and I'm just putting it all in the big pot, and I got the fire going, but I had to stir it up. Mm. Got to stir it. And you're constantly stirring it, stirring the pot. That's where that cliche, stirring the pot. If we could understand this morning what would happen if we in our spiritual pot would put a tremendous amount of faith, put a tremendous amount of prayers, put a tremendous amount of word, and get all of them stirred up together. The ingredients are there. They're there. They just need to be stirred up. And he's saying, Timothy, the ingredients are in you. You've got the ingredients. But you've got to stir it up. You've got to stir this up in your life. I don't know what Paul maybe had seen. I don't know what he had heard. I know he said, number one, I'm praying for you night and day. I don't think that's just a happenstance. And he said, I'm praying not only night and day, but I'm praying with tears, okay? And Timothy, number two, I know the unfeigned faith is inside of you. And then he said, thirdly, he went from the remembrance of the first two things to Timothy, and he addressed him personally. And he said, Timothy, you got to stir yourself up. So I looked some more. What does this word stir up mean? It means to move. We're going to go there later. It means to quake. It means to shake. It means to arise. It means to rouse. Rouse. R-O-U-S-E. Rouse. You're rousing upon the bed. What does that mean? Rousing. You're rousing on your bed. You're just beginning to wake up. Your heart begins to beat a little bit more. You're moving from the sleeping, resting mode to a little bit more of active mode. You're getting your eyes open. You're listening to the sounds around you. Paula just read to us her modus operandi every morning: rousing, stirring, moving, quaking, shaking, arising. What is God trying to tell us in this verse? I think what God is trying to tell us in this verse is, I'm trying to wake you up. Timothy, I'm attempting to stir you up. Timothy, you need to be stirred. Stir yourself up, Timothy. I would pray this morning that you can get this. I would pray that there would be a stirring in the camp. I would pray that the Spirit of God would stir us up. Oh, my, 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 my. We are in sleeping times. Yes, Holy Spirit, I heard that. The Bible says that while we slept, the enemy has come in. Let me tell you, when the church sleeps, the enemy is wide awake. When the church is dormant, the enemy is very active. Did you get what I just said? Mm-hmm. When America sleeps, the enemy is wide awake. What can I do? What can I bring in? Oh my, can I tell you that we're teetering on the brink of disastrous times in America? Mm-hmm. We have never seen a day like we're living in. We've never seen a time like we're living in. How does one of our largest cities and largest states in America bring and pass a law? And there had to be men and women vote on this to pass a law that even after birth, a child can be aborted and left to die in a trash bag and a trash can. How can that happen? Can you tell me how can that take place? When we sleep, men die. When the church sleeps, the enemy is active. When we personally sleep, when we slumber, oh my, I think of spiritual hyperthermia that's came in the people's lives. Spiritual hyperthermia, okay? Can I help you with this morning? Hyperthermia is that we have been exposed to the elements of something that is very cold. Hyperthermia is that we've been exposed to the elements of the outside, to the elements of freezing, to the elements of freezing water. We have fell in a frozen pond. We've been left outside and we've been forgotten about, and hyperthermia sets in. Hyperthermia, two things happen. Now listen to me right now. Two things happen when hyperthermia sets in. Number one, you want to quit moving and you want to go to sleep. Hyperthermia. Number two, you're freezing, but your body is heating up. And you don't know that hyperthermia has set in. You're freezing, your temperature is rising, and there's metabolic reasons for that to take place inside of you physically. So the whole time you're freezing, you're actually burning up and you don't know it. Is that not the picture of the modern church today? They have been exposed to the freezing of formalism, to the elements that has caused us to freeze. And all of a sudden we want to sleep. Oh, Holy Spirit, I just heard that. There's a scripture in the Bible. I wish we had this going today. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, because of this, many of you are asleep. Just a little slumber, just a little folding of the hands, and poverty comes and sleeping comes. And there was something in this spiritual father's mind and in his prayer time and in his heart, he said, I must address this to Timothy. My son needs to be stirred up. Let me tell you something this morning. We do not need a greater choir. We do not need greater exposition of the scriptures. We do not need greater structures of spirituality. We do not need finer robe choirs. But what we need today is for God to stir the church up one more time. For God to stir the preachers up one more time. For God to stir the choir up one more time. Because there is a spirit of sleepiness that's falling upon the believers today. And spiritual hyperthermia is setting up, that the elements are freezing us. And the whole time we're thinking this, we're about to fall asleep. And we're heating up. But really, we're freezing to death. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. There is a scripture in Peter, and it's in my notes somewheres. And once again, I need this going so bad, because Peter said that while in this tabernacle, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to stir up your pure minds of remembrance. Why? Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, it's my calling to stir you up. That should be the number one calling of every preacher today, not to have rosary oratory. Oh, my goodness. Where are we? We got to carry on jokes to warm. We got to tell four or five jokes to warm the crowd up. What has happened to us? What has happened to the church today? We got to have fancy sermonettes preached to Christianettes. Sad. I'm so appalled when I read the stories and the taglines of preachers and the titles they give their messages, and it's based upon what's come out of Tinseltown or Hollywood. It's what's come out of something. Why can't they go to the book and go to the Bible and stay on their knees, and God stirs their heart till they get a word from God for their congregation? Stir us up, God. Stir us up, God. Stir us up. Stir us up. I was so amazed as I studied this stirred up sermon that the Holy Spirit took me to the beginning of time. In the very first chapter of the very first verse of the Bible. Turn with me there this morning, and we're going to read that to you. All the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter number one, and verse number one. And the Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? Now we're not going. Let me help you with something. We're not going to get into some spiritual dialogue as some theologian and start arguing on what happened between verse number one and verse number two, because I don't care.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't have anything to do with me being saved. Yeah. I've read it and studying this, and my goodness, I mean, it's just chapter after chapter, verse after, they're arguing what the Septuagint said, what the Mormon Bible said, what the philosophies of Roman philosophy said, or what this theologian said, or what. It doesn't matter. Verse number one and verse number two has nothing to do with your salvation. Okay? Remove yourself from vain babbling. So we're not here to argue on what happened between verse number 1 and verse number 2, because verse number 1 said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now verse number 2 said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And here's what I want to bring to your attention. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God moved. The same word stirred in the New Testament is the same word moved in the Old Testament. That word moved in the original, and we will talk about that, in the original Hebrew meant to flutter, to overshadow, okay? To flutter, to overshadow. Flutter. Here, I love this one. To brood. The Spirit of God brooded. The Spirit of God fluttered. The Spirit of God overshadowed. The greatest thing is, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God in the very beginning of chapter 1 and verse number 1. So we cannot go anywheres in this Bible except verse number 1, verse number 2, and we can't go nowheres until we understand the Spirit of God moved. Take that out of the equation and there'd still be chaos. Take that out of the equation. I want to help you with something on the creation. Let me help you something with the creation. When you take the Spirit of God out of creation, there's still a void. There's still an abyss. There's still darkness. There's nothing happening. If the Spirit of God is there and not there, there's no light. Did you hear what I just said? If the Spirit of God is gone, there's no revelation. If the Spirit of God is gone, there's no creation. If the Spirit of God is there, there'll never be man. There'll never be woman. You can't take the Spirit of God out of the creation. It's the same way you cannot take the Spirit of God out of the church today. Because if there's no Spirit of God in the church, there's no creation. Did you hear what I just said? Oh my, this is bigger than I'll ever preach. You take the moving out of the church today, okay? I'm not taking away from nothing. The moving of God. Here it said, the Spirit of God moved. Timothy, the stirring, moving. They're just two peas in a pod. If you read the Hebrew and parallel it with the Greek, they're right beside each other, okay? There's another word here. Can I help you? When they brought this down out of the Chaldean, the Hebrew, and they wanted to translate it into the Latin, okay? Into the Latin, okay? You know what the word was? Instead of move or hovered or fluttering or brooding, they used the word incubate. Wow. Incubation. Oh, do you know what that means? You know what that means? The Spirit of God is incubating. The Spirit of God is incubating. It's the reference or the referring of a hen that is on her nest, setting on her eggs, and those eggs are being incubated by her heat. And she broods over them, and she overshadows them, and she moves over them. I was raised on a farm, and I've watched this firsthand. I remember when we would set her. We would take that hen, and we would put her on a setting of eggs. Now, you city folk have no idea. The only thing you know about a chicken, you go down there and be like when Ethan was very little, about 3 years old, he said, "Cover your eyes, people, naked chickens ahead." Yeah, turn away, little children, naked chickens ahead. And that's the only thing. But let me tell you about a setting. You take so many eggs, okay, and you set her. You set her. She would only ever get off to go get water or feed, and she would not be off them very long. It's the same way with the robin that comes back every year to the nest at Miss Barb's. And it's either over her floodlight on the back patio in the Florida room, or it's over there on the pergola. They're in the same place. Tell me there's not a God somewheres that robin can fly somewheres in South America, wherever he flies in the South and Alabama, and flies back to you in the spring. Deals in the same place. At the same time, there's a God somewheres. And you put that hen on that setting of her eggs, and she sits, and she hovers, and she incubates, and she, with her wings, she flutters over them, creating the heat there. Why? Because inside that egg that is formless and void and an abyss and dark and nothing's happening, the more she flutters and the more she overshadows and the more she incubates, there is something coming alive inside that egg that we would call in the South a biddy. That's not an old woman. That's a little hen. That's a little chicken, okay? But inside there, in 21 days, that little biddy discovers it's got a beak on its nose, 21 days, and it starts to peck its way out. It pecks its way out. Incubation. When the Bible was written in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and verse number 2, where the Spirit of God was it was void, and it was dark, and it was an abyss, and nothing taking place, and there was no form of the Spirit of God. In the Hebrew, it was rough, breathing, blowing, like a wind, like a holy hurricane. God, I can show you in Psalms, God blew on formless abyss, and out of it came creation. Oh, hallelujah. And that's the way we are. When we were lost and away from God, and we had no form about us, the Spirit of God began to hover over us, begin to stir us, begin to incubate us. And the Bible said, there's no one can come to me except my Spirit calls them. My Spirit draws them. My Spirit woos them. I want to tell you this morning, we are missing the brooding Spirit of God in our church today. We're missing the stirring of God in our church today. We don't need greater songs. We don't need to say, we don't have to sound like Hillsong. Excuse me. We need to hear what God wants to call and brood and stir over us today. Something taking place. Brooding and stirring and incubating. Oh my, I can see in that book of Genesis, breathing, brooding, with his forceful breath into nothing. And they called it in stages. It was the chaotic dispensation. And then they went into the Adamic, the Adam dispensation, and the Noahic or Noah's dispensation. This was the chaotic chaos. Chaos. Let me tell you one thing. You better listen to me this morning. There is nothing no better for your chaos than the Spirit of God begin to brood over you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's nothing so greater over your troublesome times that you're going through, the most discouraging moment, than the Spirit of God to begin to hover over you and flutter over you and stir over you until there's a calmness that comes that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. I want to tell you this morning, we are desperate for Almighty God to spread His wings over our church world today and begin to flutter over us and move over us and stir over us. Where is it? Where is it today? Mm. Hallelujah. I will go back to this. I will go back to this fluttering, but I want to go. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses 10 through 12. It's the same. There was three times the word brooding, or overshadowing, or fluttering. Okay, and Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 through 12. Okay, this was talking about Israel. And if you're there, and once again, I'm sorry that you can't see it up here and I don't want to go to it, but in that verse, it speaks and gives us the type and shadow of an eagle. And the Bible said, as an eagle stirreth her nest. Did you get that? As an eagle stirreth her nest. Okay, somebody help me with that. Let me go there. You got to see the progression, okay? Deuteronomy 32. I'm going to go there and read that to you. 32, okay? Notice what he said in this sequence of 32, 10 through 12. Are you ready? He found him in a desert land, the waste, okay? Notice this. It's a desert land. It's a waste, howling wilderness. Boy, that's pretty bad. It's like chaos, form, darkness, the abyss, instructed him, kept him as the apple of his eye. Number one, as an eagle, notice the progression. As the eagle stirreth her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them. The first thing she does is she has got to stir the nest up. That eagle, when she built that nest, if you've ever seen an eagle's nest, it is as big around as this table here.
Wow.
Yeah, it's as big around as that table right there. Wow. And the outcroppings are large limbs that she could carry in her mouth. They're very large. Mm. But as she brought it in more and more, she began to cushion the nest, or she made the nest more comfortable. Why? Because she's got to drop her eggs. She's got to drop her eggs in this nest. They can't break. The future depends on this nest. And then when she has them, she begins to stir over this nest and flutter over this nest. It's the same rendering in Genesis 1 and 2. The Spirit of God was hovering. When Paula began to sing this morning, "We shall behold Him," there was a moment I felt His hovering. Has the church grown so cold that it doesn't recognize Him hovering anymore? Had the believers, have they got so asleep and so unstirred in their life? When Paul wrote to Timothy, go back to him, he said, "Timothy, this flame is capable of going out by neglect. You got to stir it up, son. Mama can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it for you. Grandma can't do it for you. Paula can't do it for you. Robert can't do it for you. You got to do it yourself. How do you stir it up? How do you get up and you start moving around?" My mama, when I called her, she said, "Son, I got to get up. I got to start stirring something up around here." I said, "Mama, that's what I'm preaching on this weekend. I'm preaching on stirring it up. Stir the pot up. Shake it up. You know what? It's time for the church to get shook up, son. I am so, how did we ever, I can tell you how we got here. We wanted to make it so comfortable and so seeker sensitive that we didn't want to embarrass anybody. We didn't want to make somebody uncomfortable when they come to the church. What happened to us? Let me tell you, the night I got saved, I was about as uncomfortable as I'd ever been in my life. I was lost. I was undone without God. I was without form. I was void. I was in the abyss. It was dark. But let me tell you, the Spirit of God began to hover over that place at Foster Grove Church. And there was an incubating of the Spirit of God began to come on me. And something began to create inside of me. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, my. Let me tell you, I wish God would stretch his wings across America again, from the tip end of the Great Lakes to the bottom of Key West, all the way out to California and all the way out to the East Coast. And he would cover and he would flutter, and he will, but we got to stir it up. He said, I will. If you will humble yourselves and pray and seek me. How do you get stirred up? Well, you begin to pray. You begin to listen. And you begin to ponder. And you begin to think. And you begin to keep quiet. And you get music you can listen to. And you get the Bible you can read. And you get preaching you can hear. You begin to stir it up. You begin to stir it up. You get stirred up. I remember when I was a young preacher, I had not been saved for very long. I was already preaching. I was preaching a year from the time I got saved. And I mean, I started preaching immediately. I remember preaching for a man by the name of Brother Buck Moore. Brother Buck Moore in Claremore, Oklahoma. Buck Moore had two boys. Name was one was Gerald. Gerald was the youngest one. I thought of their names yesterday. Gerald and Lenny. Lenny Moore. Boy, they needed God. Oh, they were like the sons of Eli, you know, the prophet. I mean, they did. They were rough. I was a young guy, and they just took me under their wings. But I found out real quick, Lenny and Gerald, y'all need God, friends. Preacher's boys. But old Brother Buck Moore, I'd preach for him there on the weekend, and I'd go and stay there at his house, and Lenny and Gerald. And I remember Brother Buck knocking on my door about 6 o'clock. Brother Robert, I'm stirred. And he had his own way of saying it. I'm saying it with a big bass voice. His was like high pitched. I'm stirred. And I'm thinking, man, I'm sleeping there at 6. I ain't stirred a bit. Leave me alone, Brother Buckmore. I'm stirred, Brother Robert. We need God. I said, there ain't no need. I'm going to get up. And I got up, and me and Brother Buck would go down to his church. And I'm telling you, I'd hear him praying in those altars. God, I'm stirred. God, stir my boys. God, stir my church. God, stir me. Stir me, God. Stir us, oh God. Oh, and I never forgot that. He'd say, I'm stirred. And he'd holler loud as he could, man. And he'd wait every morning. And next morning, he'd get me up and he'd knock on the door and say, Brother Robert, I'm stirred this morning. The Lord's a stirring me this morning. And I'd get up and we'd go pray again. And I never forgot that. I want to tell you, I never, ever want to get to the place that God cannot stir me up. But I never, ever want to get to the place that I can't stir myself up. And that is where we are today. Oh, God, let me tell you, I want to help you with something this morning. You don't want God to stir you up. No, you want to stir yourself. I mean, God can stir you up. And when He stirs you up, you done been stirred, my friend. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. What can help us? I'm not getting this over this morning. I'm running out of time. But what can stir us up? We got to be stirred. I heard this. If we're stirred up, we're going to get up. And if we get up, we're going to pray up. And if we pray up, we're going to read up. We're going to get up. We're going to get stirred up. We're going to pray. Oh, my. I was praying for an individual that used to be as faithful as they could be in this prayer school group. And I said, God, take them back to the God of their youth because I know how they were raised. I've met their mother, a godly, godly woman. And I said, take them back to the God of their youth. Stirred, stirred up, stirred up, moving, kindle afresh, keep the flame full, keep it burning, keep it burning, keep it burning. There's a brooding of the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, more than ever this year in prayer school, I am asking God to fall on this place and arrest us and stir us, that we'll pray more, that we'll fast more, that we'll hear from God more. We're not here just trying to be funny. We're not here to just have a class Thursday and Friday. I am like Peter. I am here to stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, to stir us up.
Right.
Wow. To stir us up. To stir us up. To stir us up. To stir us up. Stir us up. Stir us up, God. Stir us up. I came across this old song this morning. Spirit of God that moved of old upon the waters' darkened face, come when our faithless hearts are cold, and stir them with an inward grace. Thou art the power and peace combined, all highest strength, all purest love, the rushing of a mighty wind, the brooding of a gentle dove. Come, give us still thy powerful aid, and urge us on and keep us thine, nor leave the hearts that once were made fit temples for thy grace divine. Now let us quench that sevenfold light, but still with softening breathings stir our wayward souls and lead us right. O Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Oh my, come urge us on. Urge, get up, get up. Get up! Can we be stirred? Is the question. Have we become desensitized that nothing moves us anymore? We've lost all shamefacedness. Bad words on the shows we watch don't embarrass us anymore. If nudity prevails, that's all right. It's just one short scene. What has happened to us? Music that we never dreamed we'd ever listen to, and now it's part of our repertoire. Oh, God, help us. Return to your first love, is what He told those in the book of Revelation. Get back to your first love, what you first felt when you got saved. Praise God. Praise God. Stirred up. Stirred up. Stirred up. Heavenly Father, I have not came close to the justice of this message. I have not even rendered with eloquence the words that needed to be spoken. It's been rough. It's like being hewn out of a rock. It's a peel hard to swallow. It's a step that needs to be taken, but we can't move. It's being roused in the wee hours of the morning, and I think I'll hit my snooze button one more time. Not now, God. Not me, God. Not this place, God. Leave me alone, God. That'll cost me too much. Oh, my, my. Help us, God. God, hover over us again. God, overshadow us again. God, flutter your wings, rise with healing in your wings. God, we so desperately need you. What has happened, God? How can we get so far so quick? God, how can we get so cold so quick? God, how can we get to the place that something meant so much to us? A year, 2 years, 5 years ago, and means very little today. How could we, God, when you've done so much for us? God, I preach to myself this morning. Robert, stir yourself up, son. Robert, stir yourself up, son. Remember when you'd pray 7 and 8 hours a day. Remember when you studied and prayed all day sometimes in the sound of a Sunday school room, getting ready to preach that night. Remember how the anointing was so powerful and the Spirit of God was so great. God, let us be like Samson. I wanted to talk about him today, but I couldn't. But God, let us cry with Samson of old. God, do it one more time. God, do it one more time, one more time, one more time. Lest we die. Oh, my God, what has happened? Blessed be thy name, Jesus. Stirred up. Stirred up. Stirred up.